the Rosh and the Tosfos of Rosh, which very very clear what we discussed yesterday about Erva being defined around the variable of Kurva. But then we discussed with Hashem on Sunday the Tosfos in the depth and the comments that the Tosfos is making on and why Nida is not an Erva. There are two famous and critical Rambans in Parshas Bo. Which ones are? You may have studied one or both of them. One famous Ramban is where the Ramban establishes the Yisod. The Ramban at the very end of the Parsha. There's a line that's often quoted from the Ramban. Kavanas kol ha-mitzvahs. The purpose of all mitzvahs is shenamin b'lekeinu v'nodeh elov shu b'ranu. Vi kavanas ha-yitzira. And then the Ramban on ha-chodesh hazeh lachem. About how the calendar has to be established and based on Geula. So you probably have seen this already. Who's familiar with the HaChodesh Zelachem Ramban? Good. And who's familiar with the Ramban on the purpose of all mitzvahs? Tough call. Okay. So we'll do the last Ramban. I think it was less familiarity. We'll be, as we say, Marachivus and Yeriya to discuss some of the Nekudas that are not often discussed, and yet are Chidushim of the Ramban. The Ramban at the beginning of the starts off this discussion with the discussion of the mitzvah of Tefillin. In fact, it's one of the parshas of the Tefillin. The last pasuk in the parsha: "Vayu lo is al yodecha ulateitofa is bein einecha ki bechoizik yodet zion Hashem yimitzroyim." So Ramban says, What is pshat in the word teitofes? Rashi says, teitofes are tefillin. Al shem shem arbo botim. Kruyin teitofes. Teitofes is another phrase for four. How is it a phrase for four? Tat bekatve shtayim and pat ba'afriki shtayim. Apparently, in some of the Semitic languages, tat meant two and pat meant two. So teitofes is 2 plus 2. That's what many of the more recent commentaries point out, that the Torah is in some, every so often, amalgamates the terms from other Semitic languages. Umenachem chibroi im beitaf el darom. One will to speak towards the south. Al tatifu loshin dibur. So teitofa is ben einecha. Rashi is one pshat b'kavi. It's a four compartments. So that would be that. If that's the idea, that means you have to find four very significant ideas, one per parsha. And then apparently that's the idea is, and there are four very important teachings, probably Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalah's old mitzvahs, maybe Schar Voynish, Hakoras Atov, and that's the parsha of Voyoki V'Yachah, probably, and the parsha of Voyoki V'Yachah might be the parsha of Havoras Devar Midor Al Dor, Migad Lebincha B'Yom Leimor, possibly. just a suggestion. But that's what we have to, if you want to analyze mitzvah tefillin, and you say teitofes, it means that it's a foursome, so it means you have to find four most significant ideas, and that's going to be the yisayit of tefillin. On the other hand, teitofes could mean al tatifu loshin dibor, vayolo ois al yodcha, and the teitofes a teaching. Lizikorin b'nei necha, that there must be some ideas, and that's l'teitofes. And there's a term, it's not a Yiddish term, it's called it when a person's a native. A person was a, you don't hear it nowadays, even before my time. A person who was a good speaker, he was a good native. He was able to be, native literally means to drip out. Sometimes you hear, you say about a person, the Torah oozes out of him, just drips out of him. So that's comes from this idea of al tatifu and l'teitofes, and it should be ideas, it should be a teaching. So Ramban says, Ein l'milo azois mishpocha yadua, we don't know what family of words it belongs to. Avol bali aloshin yachshavu liyachesu so loshin veitafel derayim, it's Rashi. And he brings a few more examples. Inyan mushal veitifor mosivs, and it's a concept which is borrowed. An inyan mushal, the Rambam often talks about a term that's mushal. In other words, you take a, we would call it a metaphor. It literally means to drip out. So it's as it's the idea of an idea dripping out, oozing out. It's a metaphor. An inyan mushal. The Omar kivay she'omru. Or alternatively, it's a, it means like a, not a crown, a tiara. The Tzadavis is a biblical term of tiara. All right. The Omar Teitofes will be Omar Teitefes, but Vushim Botim Rabim, because there are many compartments. Kasher Kibalnu Tzurosim and Oves Akdoshim Shiroan Nevim Akadmoinim Oisim Kainat Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know the Tzurav Tfilin because we have a Messiah on it. In other words, there is no discussion in Chumash, there's a discussion in Gemara. But it's Halachal and Moshe, we said in most of the details. So the Tfilin themselves ensconce this idea of Mesoira. You can't construct from that Mesoira. V'inei shorish ha-mitzvah zois, sh'neniach k'sav yitzis mitzrayim al ha-yad v'al ha-roish, right? So the many of the more recent svarim look at the yad as the koyach ha-masa and the mind as the koyach ha-machshava. So the Ramban said otherwise. He says that alayad malaroish is alayad is keneged alev, shame and the roish is keneged hamoyach. So the hand is not alayad. It's not really being. The point is not to be meiniach alayad, but that was the easiest way to strap it near the lave. So the focus of tefillin is keneged alev hamoyach, shehem mishkenay samachshava. That was the Ramban sees that emotions, passion, and thought are not two distinct and contrary parts of a person. It's often portrayed in modern thought that the passion and the passion is irrational. That passion works against the rational faculties. That lev and machshav are two things that are at odds with each other. So what should you follow machshav? Ramban says no. Ramban says, "Keneged alei." If one's lave is mindless, so then if one's passions are not guidance, then it's But the Ramban would argue if one's machshavas are passionless, machshavas have no component of one's lave, then they're not going to be human machshavas. So the Torah says that we have to strap the machshava is the ksav mitzrayim, the ksav yitzias mitzrayim has to be strapped keneged alevu, keneged amayach. Here's the parashas that we're going to write, and if they are mitzvah zoyshin istavenu v'em lasu yitzis mitzvah t'tofet v'ninenu u'parsha shmavu yim shmosh shenasa mitzvah gam kein t'tofis t'chziv. And he describes how we know, because in each of the four parshas where the mitzvah is listed, so we understand that that's parsha supposed to be recorded, and that should be strapped to our hearts and our minds. V'lachein anu koysim gam shnei parshas t'enu t'tofis shehem, number one, mitzvah t'yichud v'zikoron kol ha-mitzvah z'oinshon u'schoron v'chol sherash u'be'emunah. Right, so the Shema is mitzvah yichud is requires understanding in and of itself. Mitzvah yichud is a wide variety of interpretations of what mitzvah yichud is. Mitzvah sharam, in summarizing Sukh Mishonim, is mitzvah yichud is to accept the Ribbono Shel Olam's uniqueness. Yichud meaning, if we would say in English, one of a kind. That mitzvah yichud means that to appreciate that the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam is defined defies. It's not just that he's different. Kodesh. Not just that he's different. That's Kodesh. Right? But Kodesh, the third Kodesh, is only Omaya. It means that the any understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, like we explained yesterday, is a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush, and it defies other forms of any form of B'ri that we're familiar with. So that's what it means by saying that's one pshat in Yichud. That's the easiest interpretation of Yichud that we can attach ourselves to. Other halachas of Yichud, other formulations of Yichud have to do with seeing the entirety of B'ri as somehow the easiest way to say it is a reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nusach Sfard, before Mariv and Shabbos night, say Beroza, the Yichud Achris, that on Shabbos one is able to have a perception of Yichud Aboire that one could not have any other time during the week. Beroza de Shabbos. The idea being that when one retracts from specifically engaging in any one part of the Bria, so then one's able to see much more of the Briyas being emanations and reflections of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's mitzvah sayichud. That's one yesoi that we're supposed to ponder during Kriya Shema, and that we are supposed to attach el alev el amoyach. And then v'zichron kol mitzvahs v'oinchin uscharin v'yom shemoy yischar v'oinesh v'chol ha'shoyresh be'amuna. And this entire parsha of Amun, l'ch'ayra, what he means is that Tzchar Ve'onesh entails Ashkocha Protus. There can't be l'ch'ayra. There can't be Tzchar Ve'onesh without Ashkocha Protus. There can't be Tzchar Ve'onesh without Bechira Chofshes. So the parsha of Tzchar Ve'onesh, V'kol HaShoyresh, is one parsha with many different parts to it. V'omar b'shalyad v'oyelucha lo'is al yod v'b'dor shuboy shu'smoyol. Shalev noitama. What's Yad Keya? Yod Kha. It's Yad Keya, right? That's the Gemara Darshans. How do we know it's Kenegit Alev? How do we know it's a left hand? Because the Torah spells Yud Dal and Chof Hey. Right? It should be Yud Dal and Chof. What's Yud Dal and Chof Hey? It's the Gemara Darshans. Yad Keya, the weaker arm. So the weaker arm is the smile. So the weaker arm, it should be Kenegit Alev. L'chayrin, there's a Yesoid over here. That, we often associate passions with the stronger arm, right? We often we see passions as not restraining. We see passion as something that is always expressed in the most forceful terms. So there's a yisoid over here. There's a way of looking at things differently. That the yad keya is the weaker arm. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu put the we in most people, and all people who are right-handed. Right, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu put the weaker hand next to the lathe. Right, should use the weaker hand. So and lechayra, that's where the Ramban comes. The conclusion that the mitzvah of tefillin is not keneged hamaisu, keneged hamoyach, because then it would be the right hand. It's davka yad keya, so it's keneged alayv or keneged hamoyach. Sheheim mishkanei samach shava. So then Ramban says, "Alderech Oemes." So we'll skip a few lines over here. That's what Ois is. Lamed Beis Nesiris, beyond us, beyond me. Right? Okay. The Omar Ula Zikorin Bein Einecha She Yunchu Bamokim Azikorin Bein Einaim Shireishis Amoyach. Right? So there's a. I'm not sure how to learn Pshat in the Ramban. Could be, maybe we should just learn it Mamish Alpi Pshutai, that it's. That the Shal Roish is Bimokim Azikorin. Bein Einaim Shireishis Amoyach. Because Bein Einaim is the beginning of the head. Right? You learn at the end of Makkos, you learn that the Ponim starts below the cheekbone, right? So the Rosh, Hakof as a Rosh, we're in the beginning of the Pesach, the beginning of the year. Hakof as a Rosh is over here, right? And Ponim, Giluch HaZokein is below. So Tchilas HaMoyach structurally is over here. It could be that what the Ramban is saying, because he says Yunchu b'mokem azikorin beino naim shireishis amoyach v'hu tchilas azikorin umam ratzureis achrei hafradon milfonov. That's why I was thinking the Ramban is not describing the head structurally. He's describing the way machshava works. Right? Listen to what he says. He says that beino naim reishis amoyach tchilas azikorin, the beginning of memory, umam ratzureis, it is establishing images acharei porda milfonav, after one no longer has the images there. Right? When does memory begin? Was that?
When the images are gone.
As soon as you close your eyes, right? As soon as you go on to the second line of the Gemara, memory of the first line begins. Right? Acharei porda. When as long as you have a friend in front of you, so you're not dependent on your memory to picture him, right? But the moment he's pouring lefanecha, you close your eyes, that's when memory begins. That's when your mind begins to restructure things. So that's the way our minds work, right? The way we understand it. So the moment, we understand it, I think the modern approach to vision is that your eyes absorb certain images and then they transmit them through the optic nerves, and then part of the brain now has to interpret, right? So our minds are always interpreting what we're seeing. We could not see without some interpretation. So the Ramban is saying that even that interpretation is already zikaron. Right? We need, what the Torah is focusing it on, is that in order to be able to remember, in order to be able to perceive, to have a perspective on anything that we see, requires interpretation. That's how the mind works. And L'chor, what the Ramban is then pointing out is that the tefillin are the prism through which we should be perceiving it. Right? So again, the Ramban says, "Sheyunchu b'mokem azikorin." The tefillin are put in the place of zikorin. All right. So it could be that you study in the history that in ancient times. They would map out different parts of the brain. So you look at old books, you'll find pictures of the figures. So it could be the Ramban was working with that kind of an image, that there was that the frontal lobe was the memory part of the brain. Could be. Lanias Daiti, the Ramban is saying something that's deeper than that. The Ramban is saying, Shehu Reishis Amboyach, Shehu Tchilas Zikorin, that this area represents the beginning of memory. Why? Umamana Tzuris, in establishing the images, Achrei Yipor Milfonov. The Hei Makifin is Kolor Reish Birtsu Eiseyim. And then they encompass the entire mind. Vakesher, and the Not, Shu Al Achris Amboyach, Hamishamer Azchira. And the back of the head is the Ramban's understanding, that's where memory was stored. V'loshen b'nei necha, sheyu b'em tzoos ha-roish loy mitzad echad. That the tefillin should not be in either side. Shehu Sheheim Shorashe Einayim, because that's where the physical aspect of vision takes place. Umisham Yira Us, and that's where we see things. Vechein Los Asimu Korcha, but in Echem Lameis has a similar kind of idea. So what's the Ramban pointing out? The Ramban is saying that the Teitofes means there are four central ideas. Those four central ideas should shape the way that we perceive things. We perceive things differently. We perceive things through Yichud Abayr. We perceive anything that occurs, anything that we see, we perceive it as that it can be and probably is a reflection of the Abayr. So anything we see in the world, and this is true not only of natural sciences, it's true of the social sciences, because social science is the study of Tzelem Elokim. So everything that we have, we can perceive as a reflection of a Kodesh. We can perceive it as giving us some kind of insight into the Chochmas HaBorei. We can perceive it as giving us some kind of communication from the Chochmas HaBorei. That's going to be up to the understanding. But that we perceive it, that everything that we see through some, that it is some reflection or some gilui of the Rabbonu Shel Olam, that's pshat and seeing things through Yichud HaBorei. Seeing things through Hashgacha Pratis, L'Chayra, that means that how I react to that depends on, it's going to be important to the Rabbonu Shel Olam. Perhaps even how I perceive it will be important to the Rabbonu Shel Olam. That's Hashgacha Pratis, right, that he's concerned about it. Right. That I was able to have a certain insight, that I was able to perceive it in a certain way, that's part of my personal relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's Hashgacha Pratis. So that's how the Schar Goynesh Bechira, right? That is a person appreciating circumstance, not in a fate, in a fated fashion, but in a fashion that is that one can still determine, right? If a person is deterministic, so one sees then one sees that the circumstances of life and the things that happen to us have happened to us and therefore are determining the course that we're going to take. So, on the other hand, if one views the circumstances through Hashgacha Pratis, Schar V'Oinish Bechira, so then means that the way I process a circumstance is not what this is going to do to me, but rather what's going to demand of me. How am I going to now react and respond? And if it's a good situation, then recognize the goodness immediately, and what am I going to make of the bracha that it is? And if it strikes me initially as a difficult, as a bad situation, so then how am I going to triumph over the situation? Right. So that's how, in very practical terms, how a person with a tefillin, our community, and then again, Lanias Dait, the Rambam does not spell this out, the idea of Havar Midor Lador and Akoras HaToiv, that's the idea of the Pidyon Petrebech Mulchara. Otherwise, it's hard to figure out what it is. So those are all also attendant ideas through which we're going to perceive things. Havor Midor Lador means that we realize that we are that we have responsibilities beyond ourselves, and Hakaras HaToiv is elemental, that that whatever we perceive is, if it's based on an understanding of a Koras HaToiv, meaning that it's based on understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu put us here ultimately L'Toiv HaSeinu, so then that's going to impact on the way that we process the things that we see. So L'Aniyas Daiti, what the Ramban is suggesting, is this Yesod in Tefillin, that the Pshat in the Teitoves Bnei Necha is a foursome and a teaching. Bnei Necha, so Ramban says Bnei Necha means that it is it's ke'ilu, it's an intake prism. It's a filter, a prism filter. That we are supposed to understand in great depth the different aspects of the, and that's l'chayra, why the machshava has four different units, whereas the lev is one unit. The lev, the passion, is not so discerning, but the kli machshava should be very discerning. So that's why the kli machshava had these four different prisms through which a person is supposed to reconstruct, because that's the way the physical mind works. We are continuously reconstructing the images that we intake. So now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying we should be doing that in a machshava sense as well. Says the Ramban, and they says that's why they're not supposed to be on either side, because either side would be focused on they would be sunglasses, right? Either side would be focused on just on the physical ri'iyah, but not on the reconstruction, which is uniquely human. Now the Ramban might mean the following. I can't say because it's very cryptic. The Ramban might be saying, and it's begoyva rosh like a tiara, right? He says if you mekabel all the three pshatim, because he says they know loshim u'meim roy lekabloi, but they're different interpretations. So what the Ramban is saying, be mekabel what? Mekabel machlekes. So that's what the Ramban apparently works out in the end. Then a chanami. It's begoyva rosh. It's a teaching the tektafos. It's a foursome. The Ramban does not quote that Rashi, and it's a tiara, because in other words, because this is a uniquely human accomplishment, a uniquely human challenge. Only a boss of a dom could even dream of perceiving the bria with this kind of depth and insight. So that's why it's also a tiara. It's also a crown. The Omar Loshin Ravim Shein Botim Ravim Kasher Kibalim. Good. That's the Ramban primarily now on Tefillin. All right, and that's Lech Oira. There's so much more to build on this Ramban. Number one, that it is coupled together with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. I say coupled because Mikra Adin, Tefillin and Kriya Shema are separate mitzvahs. Elamai, the Gemara establishes the principle that a person should not be made either sheker b'atzmoy, right? To pshotim, either b'atzmoy himself to say v'yuto tofos b'in echa not do it, or be made either sheker in the ron shalom. So that's what couples the two together. That's why when push comes to shove, we end up. The person doesn't have a pair of tefillin handy, so he doesn't miss man Kriya Shema. And for care of a person has tefillin handy, he's already been kind of Kriya Shema. No, so he says Shema anyways in order to be made Eidus Emes, not to be made Eidus Sheker. But the two separate mitzvahs. But the idea that they are coupled, that they contain the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, which is B'yom B'Laila, it means that even in terms Lanias Daiti, it means that even in terms of the entire mode that we're in, when we ponder the different events that occur, we ponder Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. So there's a morning mode and there's an evening mode. Right? What's morning mode is when I'm about to engage the world, and an evening mode is when I'm reflecting. Right. Many people become more engaged at night, they're called night people, right? And then many people are more reflective in the morning. That means they're also night people. But the Torah is identifying, Lanias Daiti is identifying, is with Bishachu Kumecha, right? That the nighttime is that there's a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, there's a processing and a perception that takes place in the morning, when it wakes up, when it's engaged, when it's about to do things. That's how is one going to be proactive about the various circumstances that one finds oneself in, or has achieved for oneself. And then there is the evening time, when one is reflecting the events that have occurred, the accomplishment one has made, right? So then, one also processes that through Yichud HaBoreh, through Schar Vayinish, right? So it doesn't mean that this is the the way that a person does it every single day, but l'chayra it means it's a hayrah for us. That when a person, again, moshlamah davar doyme is when a person is trying to figure things out as to, again, it could be broad things, could be a career, it could anything, it could be marriage, it could be things that are not nearly as important as that, as that one's schedule for a given day or one's summer plan or something. So when, so there's a kabbalas ol malchus shemayim that takes place, meaning I should be processing is, so what's going to be a better representation of my understanding of Yichud HaBorei? What's going to advance my understanding of Yichud HaBorei? What's going to be a better reflection of my understanding of Hashgacha Pratis? Right? What's going to give more nachas to Rebbeinu Shel Olam? What's going to advance my my depth, my ruchnis? That's right. And then there's the reflective. A person is thinking about the various things that have occurred, right? The person that a person did marry, right? The career that a person did choose, right? The schedule that a person, the events of a given day, the events of a given parasha. So, Hashem yotzadover. Sometimes a person's peshay and a person can't say Hashem yotzadover, right? But most of the time, a person can say Mei Hashem Yotzah Dover, because it wasn't a Peshay. So then one has to figure out if Mei Hashem Yotzah Dover, so, no, so what's this? What is that? What's my, what does it challenge me to do? So that's the Pshat, that there's a Kabbalas Omach HaShemayim B'Shach Becha, and a Kabbalas Omach HaShemayim B'Kumecha. So the Tefillin are an instruction that we're supposed to be processing and perceiving things through Yichud HaBorei, through Hashgacha Pratis, the Ramban's Machshava. That the events of a person's life are an ongoing communication between the Rebbeinu and the person. Right, it doesn't mean that a person feels, a person depends on the madrega of a person. Where the person understands specific events to be from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and a Hayirah from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That depends on one's madrega. But Bederach Klal, to mean that, to understand that the events of a person's life are opportunities from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, are challenges from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, so that certainly is the way we look, that's the way the Ramban would want us to view things. So that's the, so we understand why it would be important to have the tefillin and this ongoing mitzvah. And the Ramban does not develop right over here, but the Ramban certainly wants us to build from this idea that the lev is part of the kli machshava. And it's not to distance the lev, one's passion and the emotion, to say that is antithetical to one's rational thought. But to see that if one is moved, if there's something that resonates with a person, right? So the person then has to, when that happens, one has to evaluate that very carefully. When the person is attracted to a certain idea, attracted to a certain approach, so one has to filter that very carefully. Is that something that's irrational? And it's a whim, and it's something that a person should dismiss. Or is that an aspect of a person's uniqueness, and therefore it's part of a personal tzelem elokim? So that's what has to evaluate it very carefully. That's what the Ramban is saying when he says that kineged aleiv amoch shein mishkanes hamachshava, the lev is also on Mishkan HaMashav, one's passion, one's emotions, one's, one has to be very careful and much more careful. And that's probably why the emotions are linked up with the Yad Keya, has to be much more careful in when one is evaluating the a person's emotional responses and emotional impulses. But on the other hand, the Ramban clearly says that one should not be dismissing them, and one should not try to abandon them. And l'chor, that's what he means. The way I would understand it is because the emotions are very often the residual of a very careful machshava, and the emotions are often part of a personal tzelem elokim, and the emotions are often part of a very healthy mesorah. And that's why the Ramban is saying that just as there is a prism of the kli machshava, so there's a prism of the kli halev as well. There's a prism of the way that one hones one's emotions as well. Then the Ramban goes on. V'yata omer l'cha kalal v'tam mitzvahs rabbos. Now I'm going to give you a sign that applies to many, many mitzvahs. This is the more famous part of the Ramban. Hinei me'eis hayos avonizor ba'olam. The Ramban says that ever since there was Avodah Zarah in the world, what does that mean? It means the world, when the world was created, so the world was a place for monotheism. Rambam is the same thing at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And Adam HaRishon believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yetzir Kapha, right? Yisum Kain Hevel believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Enosh, the Torah says that that's when Avodah Zarah began. Right now, the Rambam has details how Avodah Zarah began. Hilchos Avodah Zarah discusses that it began in an innocent way. It began as individuals representing the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then individuals figured out different ways in which they could represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then it became a self-servicing way of representing the Rebbe. Then it became more, it fed into one's ego, and maybe into one's in the economics, if individuals did not represent the Rebbe Shel Olam, but if they took up franchises from the Rebbe Shel Olam, right? A different kind of franchises. And then ultimately, instead of just being a different franchise that was authorized by the Rebbe Shel Olam, it became a separate Vedazar. Ramban cuts the chase. I don't know if he doesn't accept this or if he finds it immaterial, but he says once Avodah Zarah began, then there were different aspects of Kfira, there was Kfira Kofir Be'ikar Kofir Be'ikar Ve'oimim Ki Oilam Kadmoy. One aspect of the different ways in which you can deny the Ribbono Shel Olam. So one denial is the world didn't need the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the world is eternal. Alright? And there were those who were makshim b'diyosei apratis. There were those who believed God created the world, but he's not engaged in the world. There's no way that he could understand, he could be aware of what's going on. Echo yeida keil v'yishdaz belya. Umehem, right? Sheyoidu b'yediya. They accept that the Kadosh Baruch Hu could be aware, but not that the Kadosh Baruch Hu could be in control. And if the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not in control, then they can't be schar v'oinesh. So those are the three major components of kfira. Either that he doesn't exist, or that he never existed, or that he's not the boire. That's one parsha of kfira. Next parsha of kfira is there is a boire. He existed. He maybe exists, but he cannot be fully aware. He could be fully aware, but he could not be fully engaged. That there are, there's randomness in the world. That the world is not moving in an organized fashion or trajectory. V'kasher yirtze Elokim v'eida oy biyachid biyase imam moifes b'shinui min hogi shel olam v'tiva yizbarach l'koil bitul adeus ha'elokula. Alright, so the next line of Ramban is that a supernatural nes, right? The Ramban, we mentioned it 2 days ago, divides nisim to nisim, the storm nisim gluyim. He does more. He's the storm gluyim and mefursomim. So we mentioned the other day that a nes nister is a statistical nes. It's a nes by virtue of statistics. Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Ramban at the end of Parshas Vayera. Then, but there is a Neis Nigla, right? The Neis Nigla in Ramban means Chiddush. It means it goes against, it breaks natural order. Right? The Ramban at the beginning of Vayera. What changed beginning of Vayera? Until Vayera, Neis Nister, after Vayera, Neis Nigla. What's the point of a Neis Nigla? So Ramban's thinking is, what's the Yisoy? The Neis Nigla, a chiddush, a change of nature, is bitul tefirah. One good neis nigla, right? One good piyus yamsuf. Right? So now that means that there has to be a boyrek, and there has to be a mashgiach, and there has to be a yedeya, right? The moment that the yamsuf split, the moment that the Jews were inside of it. Right, so that means the Kadosh Baruch Hu was mashkiach. He was reacting. He was a yedeya, right? He knew that the Jews got there. He knew that what is that a split? It's a yedeya mashkiach. Right? Now the fact that he could control the Yamsuf is a pretty good indication that he is capable of putting the Yamsuf there to begin with. So that's why a neis a moifes, and the same thing would be true about any of the amakes. Alright, this is the Ramban we discussed earlier, the Ramban of Parshas Noyach, that Teva Ha'olam is an expression of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Teva Ha'olam is one of them, is when you believe in Yichud HaBorei, so that means that the Teva is part of the expression of the Shabbat. Moshe Lamad Dover Doime is that the Ramban would say that the way that vision occurs, the perception of images, the reconstruction of images, the interpretation of images. So that is a gilui of how the Ribbono Shel Olam wants the Kli Machshava to work. So when we discovered and understood more of the way that optics worked, and as we will understand more and more, so we will gain greater insight into the machshava of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and what he wants of us, how we should view things. I remember Rav Aaron, it's probably a famous presentation, but Rav Aaron was giving, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was giving a lengthy discussion of the different ways in which light bends on reflection, refraction, and the third. Right, and then explaining how that is a different gilui of different ways that chokhmah can work. Right, so that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's being megala through Teva. That's why, according to Ramban, that we describe this is really a mahalach that Rav Simcha Zissel Neshom Derech describes, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu's insistence on maintaining Teva as much as possible is because a Kadosh Baruch Hu was communicated so much through Teva. That's part of the Gili, Teva is a Gili Elikus. So how can one ever want a change of Teva if Teva is a Gili Elikus? So Ramban says, nevertheless, when there is a Moifis Vishinui Bimenhoge Shel Olam, so that's Bitul Kfira. So sometimes when we'll need a Moifis and a Shinui B'Teva in order as a correction, so that people will view the Teva as a Gila Lakus. See, one needs a break in the Teva to reestablish one's basic Amunah, And then once one has reestablished basic emunah, so then one will gain by understanding the interpreting teva. One can appreciate yichud aboire in greater omkus once one is fully convinced of yichud aboire. Ramban, at the end of Parsha Shmos, there he describes why did Moshe Rabbeinu and why did the Jews need Oisei and Moshe? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to put his hand into his pocket and come out white? Why did Moshe need to have his staff turn into a nochash? Mazav yedech. So Rashi says, you know what's Rashi's pshat? Was that? Right. What was bothering Rashi? So the Ramban says Moshe Rabbeinu had 7 days panim al panim with Ribbono Shel Olam. So what's the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing a nace which ultimately can be done by magicians? Moshe Rabbeinu needs the hand in the pocket trick. He needs the stick to turn into a nochash in order to be convinced of Ribbono Shel Olam. He's having a conversation with Ribbono Shel Olam. He's talking to Ribbono Shel Olam. He's discussing the Yitzis Mitzrayim with Ribbono Shel Olam. So Ramban says it's chizak emuna. It's a very important yisoy. A person giving a ma'amid. Moshe Rabbeinu was an unbelievable high level of emuna. That he was a novi, right? Navi is the highest level that a human being can achieve. So, and even at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu had pushed beyond human limitations, right? But a mammon still needs a chizuk emuna, because even a mammon, Ramban says, even a mammon has to push emuna from rational to visceral, right? From the kli hamoyach, the kli alev. So, what pushes the muna to be one's, we would say in English, it's not doing it justice, but a knee jerk reaction? What makes it the visceral to a person? What makes it the thing which is the primary motivation and the primary form of perception, even before one's kli machshava can be engaged? So he says, so that's the Ramban says, that's why even Moshe Rabbeinu needed another nes, because as long as he was talking to Ribbono Shel Olam, so it was this Kli Machshava that were working. It was the Kli Machshava that had convinced himself of that he was talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he wasn't hallucinating. Right? But once he had a stick turned into a nochash, so that was Mechazek without interpreting. He'd have to think it through. It was imprinted in his the Kli Alev right away. So the Ramban is saying that a nes as shinui miderech hateva is mevatel adeyos on the rational, and lechor based on this previous Ramban, mevatel adeyos on a visceral level. So he explains, Ki anifla, amoyfes anifla moira sheyeshla oilam eloka, mechachoi, viyadeya, umashkiach, viyocha. Alright. Lechoira, that's the pshat. I think the Ramban spells it out. Look it up again. That's pshat in. Saying the purpose of the makos, because that's what these moysim are supposed to accomplish. Vidatem ki ani Hashem. Then the Ramban says, Amoifes itself establishes these three yesoides, right? kad musay shel boire yidiyosei vashkochose. Says Ramban, one more yesod. V'kasher yiyam boifesu nigzar tchilo mipi novi yizbarer mimenu oid emtas hanuvua ki yedavu likim eso odom v'yegal esoidoi el avodam anviyim. Fourth yesod. When a moifes is predicted and then occurs, so now we have verified nevua. Right? That's what the Ramban in Parshas Vayigash. The Ramban says, why aren't all the miracles recorded? Why isn't Ur Kasdim recorded? It's Kavaldik a miracle. Why is it Medrash? Why should it be Chumash? Right? Serach, as it's Kash about Serach, lived, I forget how many years she lived. Apostle Chumash, the Kavaldik an S. So why shouldn't it be in Chumash? So Ramban says the Nisim that are in Chumash are primarily, I don't know if it's 100%, but primarily, not close, are Nisim that have been predicted. Because the purpose of recording a Nes in Chumash is Kiyum Nevuah. Nisim have many purposes, right? What was the purpose of Ur Kasdim? I'm not sure. Not that I have doubts about it, but I have to speculate. But if the Baruch Hu wanted to come from the Nes of Ur Kasdim, was he accomplishing that he was Kain Avraham Avinu? Was he accomplishing that he wanted to be Mepharsim amongst the Semitic people? Was it a Shtoch to Nimrod? I'll have to figure it out. Right? But one thing it wasn't. It wasn't Kiyum Nevuah. Right? The proof was Chorin. Right? Right? So there was no Nevuah that told Avraham Avinu, go in, I'll get you out. Right? So Ramban says the purpose of the Nisan that are recorded, there was no Nevuah that Sarah is going to be an old lady and live beyond all predictable ages. So the Ramban says that the purpose of the recorded Nevuah in Tereshe Bechsav, and the Nes is in Tereshe Balpeh, so it doesn't matter the Bechsav Balpeh. It happened, or Kasdim happened. Ramban is the attack, is Ramban is, if it is a Ramban, in two places, questions whether or Kasdim was allegorical or not. But the Pashtus is a nace that's recorded in Tereshma Pesach. Nace. Mal, what do we care with the Tereshma Tereshma Bechsav? Comes from Mipi Yechem Vay Sinai. But the Nisim of Tereshma Bechsav are to verify the Nevuah that gave Tereshma Bechsav. So therefore the Nisim that are recorded and that are amplified in Chumash are Nisim that have been predicted by some measure of Nevuah. So again, Ramban has four yesodis. The Nisim of Mitzrayim established four yesodis, from Dom through Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? Kadmenusa shel boirei, Yediyas haboirei, Hashgachas haboirei, Emtas nevuah. Then the Ramban says, this is one of the crucial lines in this Ramban, V'tiskayim imze ha-toyra kula. Four yesodos, you're a mammon and call it terakula. Right? Missing any one yesod, you can't be a mammon and call it terakula. But once you have these four yesodos, then you can be a mammon. Then you can be a kabul terah. Bitiskaim call it terakula. Right? Ba'achaze yavodun. Right? Alahar, because you need these four yesodos. L'choira, I can't prove this. But l'chayra, that's pshat. This is a halacha l'maisa. The Taz and a Bach. Nu l'man tia teres Hashem b'ficha. The Bach says, Taz quotes his father-in-law that when the Torah says l'man, halacha is that you have to have that machshava b'shas kima mitzvah. So it's usually discussed Erev Sukkos, right? Because it says Laman Yidu Erev Seichem Ki B'Sukkos Yishavti. So the Bach says it's first night in Sukkah by the Suda, a person is supposed to talk about Ki B'Sukkos Yishavti. Otherwise, Veltois is the Chisorin in the Kiyumah Mitzvah, right? The famous Bach. But the Emes is that this, it's known as the Bach as the Taz, emes is it's a tour. It's a tour legabe tzitzis and tefillin. The tour writes legabe tzitzis from the week that tzitzis and tefillin are in order to remind us of Yitzis Mitzrayim leman, because that's a leman, leman tizkor, right? So the tour, I don't know if he spells it out as clearly as the Bach does, but I think he's pretty clear that a person, when he puts on a tzitzis, is supposed to have in mind leman tizkor. Right? That's the leman. And what about tefillin? Right? Leman tiyeh teres Hashem b'ficha. So the Torah describes it when one puts on one's tefillin, one's supposed to recall Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? So Luchayra, the Ramban would say it in the following way. What's pshat leman tiyeh teres Hashem b'ficha? Right? And again, according to Bachat Hol Maisa, that means with every brand tefillin, supposed to stop for a second, otherwise, the key is the raisa. So, what are we saying? We say leman tiyeh teres Hashem. I can't say with certainty, but I would speculate based on this line of the Ramban is that if one thinks for a moment about Yitzias Mitzrayim, so it has the four yisoides, and the four yisoides is b'tiskayim imzeh atayra kula. That's leman tiyeh teres Hashem b'ficha. So every single time a person puts on tefillin, remembers Yitzias Mitzrayim, one recaptures the four Yisoides, and Laniyos Daiti, the Ramban would say, and by doing so, not only is one able to be, does one reinforce the basic Emun and Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, Kabbalah's Torah v'Sinai, but that becomes the four-part prism through which one reconstructs everything that one perceives. Now, another famous part of the Ramban. The Ramban then goes on to point out, and this has, the next part of the Ramban is being developed very, very much by the Malbim, by Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. Right, this is probably done, whoever went to a high school, they taught Chumash, so he probably had at least one shir in the Makos, right, based on this Ramban. What does the Ramban point out? He points out that there are three Lema'an, the three machshavos, the three statements of philosophy throughout the Makos, right? Leman teira ki ni Hashem bekerav haaretz, leman teira ki l'Hashem haaretz, and bavur teira ki ein kamoni b'chol haaretz. Right? He probably had the shir. No, he'd take all the Makos, divide them up. You see that into the tzach and dash b'chav. You know what I'm talking about? Right? First Makos a bow. First and second Makkah, there's always a warning. Third Makkah, there's no warning. Right? So you work at the pattern. So then, what's all this? This whole Mahalach, which is very often discussed, is based on these three lines. The Ramban. Because the Ramban identifies a Machshava with Domsved Ekinim, a Machshava with a Dash, and a Machshava with Vachav. These are the three Yisoides. Kedin Hashem Bekerav Aretz, Lemantei Dekil Hashem Aretz, and kein kamoini b'chol aretz lehoi reis ha-yechoi leshu shalik b'koil ein makim b'yodim ki b'chol zeh, because these were the three yesodos of kfira, and therefore these are the three yesodos that miracles come to reestablish. Good. V'hech mir mo'oid b'inyan hazeh, then the Ramban says, oh, this is a very important line of the Ramban. Ramban says, "Uba'avur ki Kadosh Baruch Hu lo yasa osu movis b'chol dor le'inei kol roshoi koifer yitzava yisonu shenase tomet zikorin v'os asheru einenu v'natik hadover el b'neinu b'neyem 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 v'dorach." Ramban says, "A Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to repeat Nisan." Right. In other words, we often wonder, wouldn't the Kadosh Baruch Hu make it so much easier for us if every generation, one Kriyas Yom Suf. Big of all of them, right? It would still be Bechira, right? Maybe it's too greedy. Twice a century. Once a century. No, big of all of them. It would make my life so much easier, right? Make any Rav a much easier time. Baruch will give a little bit of help. One day snigla. Every recorded. Now it can be filmed. Think about it, right? Once a century. need to have the old black and whites now. So it'll be time for Nunes. So the Ramban says, why does Gershon not do that? So he, listen to what his lashon. He says, we have to continuously recall Nisim. And we have to talk about it. Right? Why? Ramban says, Kilo yaseh oisum moifis b'chol dor leinei kol rosh oi koifer. Because what we would really want, right? What we would want is that Kodesh Baruch Hu should do moifsim for koifer. That's ridiculous. Right? In other words, what we really want is that when there's more kfir in the world, so Kodesh Baruch Hu should respond by giving a greater gilui lekus. That's an olam hafach. More gilui for more kfira. That still can't be. More gilui for tzaddikim. Right? So apparently Ramban is saying the system that we would want is antithetical to the Baruch Hu system. Gilui lekus is because a person is grown and is on a greater madrega. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though it sounds like it's bad business for the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? To be Megalim Zav Moed Tzaddikim. So it means we lose more. You know, those who know, and those who don't know will never know, right? But the alternative would be a corruption of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Anhagas. Because the alternative would be that Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be Megalim himself for the greater kfir that's boiling. So that's a corruption of the system. That'd be such a disorientation, such a ziyuf of schar v'oinish. Imagine what it would mean. What's the greatest schar? Greatest schar v'oilam. No? It's Dveikus, right? Greatest schar v'oilam is Dveikus v'Kadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest schar we're all working for, is the Neshama Shem Dveikus. So the greatest schar possible is to have a greater sense in Kabbalah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The greatest schar ba'olam hazeh would be to have more muchnis, to have a kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, have more dveikus, whatever it would mean ba'olam hazeh, right? To have a greater gilui lekus. So it would mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam would want the Kodesh Baruch Hu to give the greatest possible schar in this world for kfira, because the people are not believing their Ribbono Shel Olam. In a sense, ain lecha ziyuf hatera yoseh mizeh. There's no greater ziyuf of schar vaynish. There's no greater bizayin the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should give the greatest schar for a koifer, for a dor of kfira. Andor of Kfir, a koifer. So it's true that the Chazanish writes that after the Second World War, so one can't be critical of people who are not Maminim. Chazanish writes in generations and times where things look so random, so one cannot be critical, right? So one can't say it in the full force the Ramban is saying. Right, but if you look at that period of time as being distinct and unique, so then what we would want, you know, emotion without thinking, is a ziyuf of the whole system. So it must can't be, and because it can't be, because the system has to work this way, because the vekus is the greatest schar, and gilukus is the greatest schar. So that creates a greater achrayas to remember to commemorate Nisan. So there's such a yesod that Ramban is pointing out to us. In other words, in this week's parasha's boy, Kodesh Baruch Hu creates a new concept, a concept of zichri Nisan. Right? The concept for us, it's a yesodistic concept. The idea that there's a responsibility in people to remember Nisan. The idea of an anniversary. It's a six parasha. The idea that a date can pick up this achrayas of having to remember. So Ramban is saying, what's the yesoid? What's the yesoid and yesoid of the idea of zichron and nisa? Because since a nes is gilui lekus, And since Gilikus is the greatest char, so it has to be reserved for Gedali Yolo. It has to be reserved for Dor Tzadikim. I mean, it's ki'ilu, a reenactment of the Or HaMekori that Kodesh Baruch Hu took away and put aside for Tzadikim Yolo for times to come. That's a love. Because the alternative, right, would be a corruption of the greatest char. So the Mela Gilei Elikus requires that human beings will commit themselves to recall and remember Nisa, because it's the only way that we can reserve Gilei Elikus to be the ultimate schar. It's almost definitional. So Zichron HaNisim is almost definitional. So that's the chavra why in the parsha of Makos of Zichron HaNisim, in the same parsha, so that's where we're going to have the mitzvah of Zichron HaNisim. Go ahead.
The question of why doesn't Hashem do use the word Magnus, and the answer was that it's like it's too antithetical.
Yeah.
So that's only if we're asking the question in terms of like why don't we deserve it? But I think the question I think was posed not we deserve it, it's just that we need it nowadays because Dafka there are so many over, and like I thought it was hitting on the point of like, in a time after the Holocaust, like even all the more so it could have been used. So obviously no one, not only the claim that it's deserved, but that maybe it's a need as opposed to
I think that's the way we put it. But so the Ramban is saying is that even granted that it would be a great benefit from Aminim, but in order to produce that, you have to corrupt the system. It would be a corruption of Schar V'Onash. It would be a terrible disuse of Gilei Elikus. It would cheapen Gilei Elikus. Senech HaNavi, it could be beneficial, but it would cheapen Gilei Elikus. And cheapening Gilei Elikus, it's cheapening the Yisrael Yisraelis. So Yisrael Baruch Hu, I can't, alright. Good. Harbe Yoyse Kosovkan, there's much more that the Ramban goes on to discuss of here. And then it translates it into the mitzvahs of Tefillin and Mezuzah. And then the Ramban goes on to describe again with the most oft quoted Ramban probably is this line of Ki Tayelas Kol HaMitzvahs. Shenamin b'leikenu v'noidei lov shu b'ronu v'kavonas yitzir v'shein lenu tam acher v'yitzir v'shein v'ein kel el yoyin chofiz b'tachtoinim milvad sheyeda ha'odun v'yoyin l'kov shebroi v'kavonas v'romimus ha'koil b'tfilah. So then he goes on to discuss certain details. All right. But Ad Kahn, we'll have to stop over here.